WSSR,
WSSU Radio,
WUIS.
You are listening to Radio Rewind on Community Voices, 50 years of NPR Illinois history. Hello, NPR Illinois listeners. Welcome to the very first episode of a new segment on Community Voices, Radio Rewind. I'm your host, Evie Rodenbaugh. You may have heard me through your speakers before as a guest on Community Voices, and I am overjoyed that NPR Illinois is once again partnering with the Sangamon Experience to share the history of public radio in Central Illinois. In case you missed it, 2025 was NPR Illinois' 50th anniversary year. The station first hit the airwaves on January 3, 1975 as WSSR. Since that day, NPR Illinois has established itself as a credible community resource. We felt that was worth celebrating. We combed through thousands of newsletters, tapes, and photos at the station to piece together the stories that brought the station where it is today. You can check out the Sangamon Experience exhibit, Radio That Listens to You, at the Lincoln Library in downtown Springfield through May 2026. You can also find our digital exhibit on the NPR Illinois website, nprillinois.org. This segment on Community Voices expands on Radio That Listens to You, bringing archival tapes to the airwaves once again. To begin, let me get you acquainted with the basics of NPR Illinois history. In 1967, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act, creating the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Non-commercial media programs and stations existed before the CPB, but 1967 was the first time Congress distributed federal funding to non-commercial media. Funding was shaky in the first few years, resulting in Mr. Rogers' famous Senate speech promoting publicly funded television programming in 1969.
I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
The year that followed this speech marked the birth of two institutions of great importance to our story, National Public Radio and Sangamon State University. National Public Radio incorporated on February 26 to, quote, license and otherwise make available radio programs to be broadcast over non-commercial educational radio broadcast stations, networks, and systems, end quote. They created programming, supported member stations, and distributed resources necessary to create a network of non-commercial radio stations across the United States. Sangamon State University held its first classes in the fall of 1970. Its approach to education differed from traditional universities. SSU offered upper division courses for undergraduate students in the last 2 years of their degree and graduate students. There was a specific emphasis on student-led inquiry. Students received practical hands-on instruction, professors often did not assign traditional grades, and SSU was generally thought of as a hippie college.
WSSR presents coverage of the 1981 Intersession from Sangamon State University, the Energy Decade, Food, Resources, and Environment in the 1980s. We take you now to the Public Affairs Center for the next session.
Then-President of SSU, Robert Spencer, felt that public broadcasting was an essential feature of any university campus. And in 1972, plans were set in motion to create a new Broadcast Services Division of Sangamon State University. Newly hired Director of Broadcast Services Dale Utz, Vice President of University Relations Crispa Hopless, and President Spencer pitched Broadcast Services to the Sangamon State Board of Regents the following year.
At the fourth meeting of the Board of Regents, when I first presented the outline of our academic plan, I indicated that a state capital in a state as great as Illinois, with a new institution devoted to public affairs, should very naturally develop public radio and public television eventually. So here we are.
Public media at SSU had five main focuses: public affairs, educational programs, community service, cultural programs, and interinstitutional cooperation. In 1973, Springfield, Illinois was one of the only state capitals without public media services. The proposal for broadcast services at Sangamon State University addressed this gap. Quote, "Market studies show that the Springfield area is the second largest market in the United States without a public broadcast facility, that there are some 428,000 citizens in central Illinois that do not now receive public broadcast services. This means that broadcast facilities at Sangamon State University will serve a significant population with its public affairs and instructional programming, as well as the cultural and artistic programming and the community service that marks public broadcasting in this country. It is important to repeat that because of its location in the state capital and the expressed desire for programs fixed on state government, that the university would serve not just this important central Illinois area, but the entire state as well." Sangamon State had a vision for the future of public media in Springfield. Soon, broadcast services began hiring the staff, building the infrastructure, and laying the groundwork for a 50-year legacy. And that brings us back to January 3rd, 1975.
This is WSSR Springfield, Illinois, with our inaugural broadcast. WSSR is operated by Sangamon State University and licensed to the Board of Regents of the State of Illinois. WSSR is heard at 91.9 megahertz on the FM dial and is authorized to operate at a maximum effective radiated power of 50,000 watts from a tower height of 520.
The voice is that of the first general manager of the station as we went on the air January 3rd, 1975 with our first set of call letters.
950.5 megahertz. This is Director of Broadcast Services Dale Utz, and I'm pleased to welcome you to WSSR on what is for us an historic day. Throughout this afternoon, you will enjoy news from our own professional news department, National Public Radio, and United Press International. Music and features, which will be a regular part of our broadcast day. A preview of some of the programming which will be highlighted on this public radio station. And interviews with dignitaries and guests attending a reception now underway near the studios of WSSR. We feel that WSSR will bring a new dimension to your radio listening with a variety of public affairs, cultural, educational, and special programming. We hope you will tune 91.9 FM often and that you will let us know what you think of our efforts to serve you.
Central Illinois certainly let WSSR know what they thought. The station was an instant success, with over 100 student and community volunteers in its first year. Now, the station was tasked with keeping up with the times. For example, WSSR transitioned from using phone lines to transmit broadcasts to a complex satellite system. Programs once recorded on reel-to-reel and cassette tapes eventually made their way onto discs and digital clouds. Funding models that worked pre-Reaganomics faltered in the 80s, and the manpower needed to operate a station before digital technology was no longer necessary at the turn of the century. Here's one of those historic moments on tape when Governor Thompson signed the Public Broadcasting Bill in 1985.
House Bill 143 is the appropriation bill itself. To put that in context, we stopped funding public television and radio entirely in fiscal year 1982 because we were in the midst of the worst recession that this state had endured in 50 years. The state has not funded public radio and television in the 4 years since that time. The level of funding when we stopped back in 1982 was $1 million a year. By my action today, I've not only restored funding to public radio and television, but we've doubled the $1 million that was the ceiling the last time we did this.
But through all of these changes, the most memorable were in name only. In 1989, WSSR's call letters changed to WSSU.
When the university was founded in 1975, our first choice, of course, for a name of our station and the call letters was WSSU. But those letters were not available. We learned several weeks ago that the call letters were available, and of course we applied and received permission to change our name. I think our new name will help identify us closer with the community, closer with the university, and I am proud to be the first to use the new call letters on the air. And now, for the first time, it gives me great pleasure to say, you're listening to Public Radio 91.9 in Springfield, WSSU, a public service of Sangamon State University.
In 1995, the call letters changed once again, this time to WUIS.
It's 21 minutes past 8 o'clock. This is Morning Edition. I'm Rich Bradley. There was a celebration on the campus of Sangamon State University yesterday as faculty, staff, and some students gathered for a picnic to celebrate change, change that becomes official tomorrow, July 1st. Sangamon State University will be no more. It will become the University of Illinois at Springfield. Yesterday's celebration, however, was more a poignant remembrance of Sangamon State and the short 25 years of its life than what it will become. There is also some change that will occur here on this radio station. Coincident with the change in name of this university is a change in call letters for WSSU. Tomorrow we will be WUIS. For those of you listening on WIPA in Pittsfield, there'll be no change in the call letters there. But for WSSU, it will be the third change in call letters in the 20-year history of the station. Governor Edgar, who signed into law the bill merging Sangamon State with the University of Illinois system. The merger was just one part of sweeping higher education reforms legislation enacted by the General Assembly early in its spring session. That set the wheels in motion for a change in call letters to reflect the change in our parent institution. But for regular and longtime listeners of WSSR, WSSU, and WIPA, the change to WUIS tomorrow is in call letters only. Beginning tomorrow, all the changes is the station break.
WUIS became NPR Illinois in 2015, marking the most recent and hopefully final name change in the station's history. So why does any of this matter? Isn't 2026 the 51st anniversary year? Public broadcasting is experiencing yet another historic moment. You've probably seen public broadcasting in the headlines lately, as funding cuts drastically changed the business model. Most recently, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting shuttered its windows after almost 60 years of service. As the landscape of public media changes, community engagement is more important than ever. But don't just take it from me. Dale Utz was having the same conversation in 1975.
I find it interesting that in view of the fact that this kind of station is the oldest in the nation, it is nonetheless experiencing what seems to be a rebirth in terms of its importance as a community resource and a community asset. That's another thing, speaking of FCC concerns, that stations are constantly facing, and that is the idea of providing service which is directly responsive to the expressed needs and interests of a community, whatever the community happens to be. Not simply the city of license, but the service area, the places the signal reaches. And, I think for a long time that hasn't really been a significant priority, that kind of responsiveness. But those days are gone forever. All of the regulatory emphasis seems to be moving toward stations formulating direct and important and specialized responses to community needs.
particularly in public stations where they depend on the community for individual contributions for a part of their budgetary support. It's an ongoing process. It's day-to-day. It's the kind of process that you know within probably a couple of days how well something went over when you see an increase in the amount of negative mail and a decrease in the amount of contributions. And that in itself is a form of ascertaining community needs.
At NPR Illinois and the Sangamon Experience, we believe that community connection begins with community education. When we get to know our neighbors, we build understanding, gain new perspectives, and are more likely to have meaningful conversation. This program will help you get to know your neighbor of 50 years. NPR Illinois. This was Radio Rewind on Community Voices. I'm Evie Rodenbaugh. Have a suggestion for a guest on Community Voices? Want to hear an episode again? Go to nprillinois.org. Thanks for being a part of Community Voices and NPR Illinois history. Interested in learning more about NPR Illinois history? Visit the Sangamon Experience exhibit, Radio That Listens to You, at the Lincoln Library in downtown Springfield through May 2026. Or go to our digital exhibit at nprillinois.org.